Welcome to the Making Connections podcast with your host, Spencer Raposo. This podcast was made to interview current registered kinesiologists in Ontario and talk to them about what they do and where they see the future of the profession going. The goal of the podcast is to get a conversation going about kinesiology as a regulated health profession in Ontario. Each episode, we will bring on a new guest with loads of experience as an RKIN that will share their story and any advice for any new RKINs and kinesiology students about current opportunities in the field. Not sure what to do with your kinesiology degree? Do you know what an RKIN does? Are you a kinesiology student deciding on the COKO exam? Well, listen to today's podcast, sponsored by Kinformation, an online kinesiology education resource, to find out where the future of kinesiology is going and where you fit in. Francesca is a registered kinesiologist and online trainer with over 14 years experience in the fitness industry. Francesca holds an honors degree in kinesiology and health science from York University and has taken numerous courses in the areas of posture restoration, assessment, and disability management / return to work planning. Francesca is also the owner of FitFX Training, where she trains clients online. In this episode, we talk about her own weight loss and fitness journey through kinesiology, taking the leap into online training, and identifying your target audience. Hi, Francesca. Welcome to the Making Connections podcast.
Hi, Spencer. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for taking your time out today. What I would like to do is get started and give you a chance to introduce yourself to the audience and talk about how long you've been an RKIN for.
Yeah, sure. My name is Francesca McKenzie. I'm 36 years old and I'm in Toronto, Ontario. And I've been an RKIN for 5 years now. And before that, I was a personal trainer for almost 10 years working for big box gyms. And it was a former colleague of mine where I worked at a medical clinic. Shout out to Matt if you're listening. He was working for the item writing committee and he suggested to me that I should become a KIN and apply and write for the exam. So I just decided, actually, yeah, it would be a great opportunity because it's grown since I had graduated from York mm-hmm. University. So I studied, wrote the exam, and here we are.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Well, welcome. So looking back to as far as you can remember, what led you to want to be, I guess, a personal trainer first, and then I guess we can dive into after what outside of your friend suggesting looking at RKIN, if there was any other factors that led you to continue with it as well.
Right. Well, it is a bit of a story. So I guess back to childhood, I excelled at sports. I did track, soccer, basketball. But as I got into my teenage years, I started to gain a little bit of weight and I was working for fast food, and even though I was playing sports quite a bit, I wasn't really training and it didn't really compensate for how much I was eating and how much poor eating at that I was doing. So mm-hmm. I had a slight interest in kinesiology back in high school because there was actually a kinesiology course in my last year. There was a class called kinesiology, and at that time I had no idea what it was. But the teacher at the time, she made it really fascinating, and it was just basic stuff, kind of, you know, anatomical position and mm-hmm. Fulcrums and levers, second lever, all of that basic stuff, right? So I got into it and it was really interesting, and it was that moment on that I was like, yeah, you know, I really like science and obviously I love sports. I should, when I go to school, post-secondary, I want to study kinesiology. Mm-hmm. And I found myself at York University. But once I got to York, I had clocked my heaviest weight ever. And I was almost 200 pounds. And I was really unhappy. And I wasn't performing as well and didn't make the basketball team. And mm-hmm. there was just things that were very negative around my weight and how it kept increasing.
Yeah.
And one day I just kind of snapped out of it and I decided to make a change. And by that time I was in my second year of university. So there was a lot that I had learned in terms of like exercise science, and I wanted to apply that with my own lifestyle. And once we got into other courses like the physiology and the nutrition, I was able to apply that science more and more to my own lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I had dropped weight from 198 pounds to 150 pounds.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was really great. And I felt great. And I did it by myself. Like I had great support and I learned a lot from school and support from peers. But it was really, really awesome. And I was proud of myself. And I decided that, you know, I think I want to help other people achieve weight loss, because when I was at my lowest, it just didn't feel great, low self-esteem and everything. So I wrote a personal trainer certification, and I started mm-hmm. working at a big box gym, and I was doing personal training. I told myself I'd just stay as a personal trainer until I decide maybe I'll go back for a master's in kinesiology or something.
Mm-hmm.
By then, I had graduated with my kin degree from York, and then I just decided that I liked personal training, so I just kept doing it. Mm-hmm. I ended up working at a few box gyms, and then I found myself working downtown and wanted to apply a little bit more science, a little bit more clinical aspect with training mm-hmm. from where I was working. So I had applied to work at a medical clinic downtown. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Matt, my colleague. And after working there for a year or so in the fitness team, he said, you know, I think you would be a great kinesiologist. I think you should write the exam. So I looked into it. Back when I was doing my kin degree, kinesiology was very, very new. It was kind of seen more as a physiotherapy assistant type role.
For sure, and, for sure.
Yeah, and there's definitely a broad scope of practice that kinesiologists have, and it encompassed everything that I had interest in. You know, I have a family history of diabetes, so there's metabolic conditions that kinesiologists can work with. Mm-hmm. I've been injured playing sports, so kinesiologists can work in rehabilitation as well as sport performance. Chronic pain, low back, so it only made sense. So I found out when the next exam was and pulled out all of the resources to study. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a well-written exam, and here we are. I was glad I did it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So as you got to write the exam and you became a kinesiologist, what was your first job then out of that officially as a kinesiologist?
Well, actually, so I was still working at that clinic downtown, the okay. medical clinic. Once I had passed my kinesiologist exam, I stayed working as a personal trainer, but then I also got myself working in the sports medicine department as one of their kinesiologists. So we would be working alongside the physiotherapists and the chiropractors, mm-hmm. and we would do delegated care and work with patients and clients with their knee rehab, low back pain, chronic pain. And we were hoping to develop some programs in cardiac rehab as well as metabolic conditions. Unfortunately, it just never got that way. Mm-hmm. So we worked with a lot of patients with ACL injuries and low back pain, shoulder impingement, and we just led them through programs on the gym floor with the other trainers in the same clinic.
Nice. Awesome. So then looking after that, having that experience, and I'm just trying to look at your LinkedIn as well to follow the story along as well. You yeah. started to work for, I guess I'm looking here, MedCan.
Yes, that's where I was working.
So that was that same place?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. So looking at that, gathered a lot of experience. And then based on other talk, you decided to take, I guess, a leap of faith and start your own company, FitFX Training. So mm-hmm. I'd love if you can talk about what you do as an online trainer slash kinesiologist with that company.
Well, this leap of faith was, it was definitely a leap. It was a jump, if you will. Yeah. But I'm having a lot of fun. Where do I start? When I decided to, well, I had been thinking of starting a venture on my own. Actually, I'd been thinking about going on my own years before I had working at Medcan, actually. And I had started a website and I had started a vision, but unfortunately I didn't pursue it. There was just a lot of things going on.
For sure.
I let the fear win, if you will.
We've all been there.
Right.
Everyone's been there, don't worry.
So the fear definitely won. It was 1-0. And then this time around, you know, COVID hit and I think everybody was thinking, you know, you want something different. Not that I didn't have anything bad, you know what I mean? It's just I've held on to this vision for some time.
Yeah, so I totally was in the same boat this summer too, switched positions. I started this podcast, funny enough, at the beginning of COVID. This was something I wanted, just like you, put on the back burner for such a long time, and then I had this extra time and I figured I'd get this going. So definitely, I could definitely understand where you're coming from with that.
Like, what do we have to lose, right? We have the extra time, and you can definitely pursue your main hustle and do a side gig or make your side gig your main gig. And I think we just owed it to ourselves. So in the background, I had started a new website and just built upon that. And I started reading on search engine optimization and social media and blogging and liability insurance and just basically going through my checklist of what it means to run your own practice or run your own business, especially as a kinesiologist in Canada, because obviously we have to abide by all of the standards and guidelines as outlined by the college. So I had to make sure that I had not only like mandatory professional liability insurance, but also cyber insurance. So in the event of, you know, lost data information, do you have insurance for that? That was a really important aspect that I wanted to make sure that I had. Also charting and note-taking, all of that still plays a part online. It's very important. So making sure that I have all of my SOAPs and all of my intake forms, filling all of that out and having them embedded within the website, and then just following up with clients to make sure everything is nice and sound there. This has definitely been a learning experience, starting out on your own. If anyone's listening and you're kind of thinking, can I do it? Can I not do it? I know with online training, kinesiology, like a lot of us are learning that can we adapt and can we pivot our practice online? And it's definitely had some hurdles. There's definitely some things that are invaluable in person and things that we can't really accomplish online. But I've still been able to find a way to assess and train and take my notes and follow up and create programs. Like the bare bones of what we do as kinesiologists, I've still been able to find a way to do it online. And I do look forward to being able to go back in person for, you know, being able to provide manual therapy or just seeing our clients in person, frankly.
Oh, yeah, but, for sure.
Right. But yeah, we've definitely been able to still carry on, and clients have been happy and we're still seeing some great progress. And I think the important thing was that we didn't let COVID slow us down and we were able to still continue and meet our goals.
Yeah. Awesome. I wanted to just, because I'm super curious about this online training, and I know a lot of the viewers will be as well. You touched a little bit on having separate insurance. So making sure you have all the different liability insurance, having the online security breach insurance. in regards to different software or different tools you use, were there any, what are the specific tools you use or software you use for, let's say, charting or sending clients home exercise programs, etc.? Have you made that all yourself, or you do you use other programs?
I actually just use Excel for all of my documents. So for all of my charting, I just use Excel, and I just protect the sheets whenever I'm sending anything out. As well for storing information, everything's cloud-based. I have tried to use some apps. Like, I know some clients or some kinesiologists are using Imbodia, for example. And I have used it, but the problem that I had with not necessarily Imbodia, but just using other apps to make up programs with videos and GIFs and stuff is sometimes, have you ever named an exercise and someone else, it's named something else, and then you go to look for it.
Oh, that's the hardest.
Right? So one of the things that I did is I actually made my own database, and I tend to add more, I will be adding more exercises to it. I was fortunate enough to work with a videographer, and we had filmed about 100 exercises or so, and he edited them, and they're all on my YouTube channel. And those are actually some of the exercises that I'll embed in my Excel sheet.
That's what I was thinking that you would do. I could tell from the website that you had that lined out, because those are probably some of your go-to exercises that are common in your programs that you can give specific cues or specific names of them, rather than trying to find them. And someone else does it differently than you, and then you have to retype out the words and such. I totally understand that.
Because what I would do before I had my own exercise database, I would just look up something on YouTube, and then I'm like, oh, the form's not quite what I'm doing with the client at this particular moment, or I don't like this person's form in the video, and it would just be easier if I had my own. And then also, it just adds to your overall brand if the face of the exercise demonstration is you, because then it's like you're coaching them in person. It's like you're continuing the session, right? You're able to, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's way more personalized, right? You're teaching the exercise the same way that you would teach them in person. So it's just as good as if you were showing them, and they can go back and forth to look at it. And I find nowadays with a lot of people, and even with my clients, the videos at the end of the day, they love them because they can watch and listen to them a few times just to make sure that they're doing it right when they're doing stuff independently. So that's definitely awesome. And like you said, that helps a lot more with the branding as well. Because I'm sure other people will probably use those videos, and then they're like, oh, who's this person? And then you get on their radar, right? So
exactly. Because what I'll actually do is I'll even use some of those videos in like a monthly newsletter that I'll send to my clients. And then I'll put a call to action for them to, like, if you know somebody that needs more thoracic mobility, golf season, you feel free to send these out. I do have a disclaimer on my videos, right? So, that's also something else I guess I can add. If you are going to film your own content.
Yeah, I know that's something I'm looking at too, yeah.
Yeah, that was something that was discussed. The College of Kinesiologists of Ontario, actually, they held a panel at the end of last year, and I participated, and there was a few other kinesiologists on the call, and we were just discussing the future of virtual training and things that we need to consider as kinesiologists, and having an exercise disclaimer either in your caption or directly within the video is an absolute must, as well as demonstrating that you're not going to be, diagnosing or, right? You still have to respect those standards and guidelines. So that was something that I definitely wanted to consider. So yeah, back to the videos. You don't need a videographer to film all of this stuff. That was just something that was of a specific look that I was going for. But if you have great lighting, your iPhone or whichever, you can film them from anywhere. And and create your own content. And then that can be part of your own branding and have your own exercise database. So you can continue your session with your face, right? So your client is going to be seeing your face and hear your cues versus listening to somebody else's.
Yeah, I totally agree. So with that then, looking at what you would do, let's say on a day in the life. Well, so even if you were to talk about your day today, how does your day, what does your day look like as a trainer online?
So today, let's run down today. I woke
up. Yeah, I knew you were really busy. So today was a good day to ask about.
Yeah, let's run down today. So today I woke up at 6:30. I didn't have breakfast right away, but I tried to wake up at the same time. I'll have water, maybe. Actually, I'm giving up coffee, so no more of that.
Wow, you're brave. I could never do that.
You know, I've had coffee for a long time, so I think it's affecting my sleep. So I just wanted to, I'm doing an experiment right now, and so far I'm okay.
I'll ask about you in a month and see how you feel.
So far I'm okay. And then, my first client was at 8 this morning. So about half an hour, I log on and I just review their last, chart, and I look at the program and just make sure everything is sound and we're ready to go on time. And then on Zoom, depending on the client, I'll actually, layer some music over the Zoom call. 'Cause some clients like it. It makes them feel like they're in the gym again somewhat if there's music playing.
That's awesome.
Other clients, absolutely not. It's just them and I one-on-one.
Yep.
And throughout the session, we just review, how did you feel after last day's session? Did you have any feedback? Did you sleep well? How's your energy today? Are you high stressed? I kind of go through the usual questions.
Yeah, subjective stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And then if there's anything that we need to address, we try to address that first and foremost. But I also don't like... I just don't like to take over a whole session unless it's needed, because I really like to focus on moving and getting some strength in and staying on top of the program. So we'll go through the program, go through a little bit of a finisher depending on the client, cool down, and review homework. And I did that with three clients I had today. There's a couple of cancellations and rescheduling. And then on my off hours, I'm thinking about planning my social media content. So especially as an online coach, kinesiologist, trainer, whichever, the social media content has been a huge highlight for me. And it's because I want to try to promote kinesiology as well as promote my brand for obvious reasons. And just getting into the habit of posting consistently. And I think a lot of us have run into the, I don't know what to post.
For sure.
You know? So I will do my best to try to plan out a week minimum. If I can plan out a month, I've only done that a couple of times. If I can plan out a month, that's been great. I started a series called Your Fitness Fix. That was actually was supposed to be the name of my company, the one that I thought about starting years ago. It sounded very slogan-y, so I was like, no, I don't think I want that to be the name of a company. But Your Fitness Fix. So I started making these about 2-minute videos, and I've been publishing them to LinkedIn. I think you saw a couple of them.
Yeah, that's how I kind of reached out to you. I seen a few of them and I was like, this is super interesting. I gotta learn more.
Yeah. Well, I just think that, again, as kinesiologists, a lot of people, even though kinesiology has been around 11, 12, 13 years, it's still not as widely known. Like people say, Kinesa, what is that exactly? And it was one of the ways in which I thought it would be great to promote the profession. I know I've told some friends it's kind of a cross between, if you want to think of it this way, a cross between like a physiotherapist and a personal trainer,
That's legit how I always explain it to people, because you kind of have the clinical aspect, but also sort of the health and fitness aspect.
But then even then, it's not even as accurate to say just that, because we have a wider scope than a physiotherapist, and we have a little bit more due diligence, if you will. Than a personal trainer, so to speak, right? So And that's the easiest way I've been explaining it. So I thought that if I did these videos, it would just kind of get the word out there, because I think there's a lot of people, the public in particular, that would highly benefit from working with a kinesiologist because they get the best of everything.
Absolutely.
When you're branching out online as well with your social media content, you have to know who your target audience is, because then you're basing all of your content around those people. To those people. So I'm kind of thinking that, we can work with a wide range of people, but I'm trying, I've the most of my practice have been working with those between maybe age 30 to 60. They may have one precondition, so like maybe like a high blood pressure or high blood sugars, and they're on borderline, and maybe they've had an injury. So I wanted to try to create these videos to promote that you can definitely still move, still have an active lifestyle, even with these conditions. But doing so with the guidance of a kinesiologist would be advantageous to you.
For sure.
So that's why that's what I had in mind with those videos, and what I have in mind with a lot of the content that I'm creating.
No. Yeah, that's great. In terms of, yeah, that's sort of how I figured your day would be split, because you have the online sessions. It's like when people are working from home, right? You have only during those times or those sessions, those appointments, and then in between it's okay, how else can I utilize my time, whether that's research or like in your part is essentially making content, figuring out marketing, website design, SEO, like all that stuff, because that's how people are finding you, right? Is through that online, on all the different online platforms.
Right. And the research, and research definitely goes along with that content. I believe in one of the videos that I had, the most one that I made recently, or maybe the one before that, I was speaking about resistance training and how a lot of the public are not using resistance training. Oh, it was resistance training and chronic disease, and how resistance training is not as prescribed as it could be. For things like blood pressure and blood sugars and diabetes and such and that. So I had created my video around that, and you have to just make sure that you have the research to support that, because the public definitely wants to know that it's evidence-based. It has to be evidence-based, because we're not trying to mislead the public, right? So there's definitely has to be the research that goes along with the social media content that you're creating.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. When you have to think about that, is at the end of the day, as a kin, you have to follow all those standards, guidelines, making sure that's all good, but then also you need to make it marketable as well. So that can be definitely challenging from your end.
It definitely does make it challenging, because I think when I first, I thinking back to the first few posts that I did, it was all research. It was all, science. And then it occurred to me, like, because I was studying my analytics, I would check my analytics from my website and from Instagram, and the engagement or the reach may not have been so high with those type of posts. So figuring out a nice hybrid between the two, you still want to educate, you still want to be evidence-based, but it still has to be engaging. That's a that's a, it's and also be your style, right? So that's taken some time. So I think if anybody's going to try to do that, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to try new things, but give it some time. Like, you can't have one post be one way and then another post or content be completely different. You got to kind of test your audience out and see what works, and then kind of tweak your strategy from there.
Definitely. That's always a thing, is right when you come out of the gates, you're not gonna know exactly how to do it. You're gonna have to make those, when you look back, dumb posts or silly posts, to learn how to make the right content, or learn how to attract the right audience. So it's
Right.
all, like you said, just trying it, and you will slowly start to figure out your brand as you go along.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Next part I wanted to look at was, so you've been a kin for, I think you said, 6 years now. and maybe more. I think it was around six. I wanted to hear your experience. How did you like it compared to your training? Did you miss your personal training? Was there things better about the personal training? Or being a kinesiologist, was that just something maybe as you saw as a next step?
I think being a kinesiologist was definitely the next step, and it just enhanced everything that I love about personal training as well, because starting it as a personal trainer, you are directly impacting people's lives and well-being. And as a kinesiologist, you're doing that with a greater responsibility because you have the number one duty and objective to protect the public. Mm-hmm. And I always considered my work ethic to be different. Mm-hmm. So in terms of just note-taking and charting and doing research and looking into things in ways that which I can help my clients. Now that is actually just a standard and guideline of being a kinesiologist. So I think it just enhanced everything that I already loved about personal training. But now I have the capacity to do lots more research and really get involved with different aspects in kinesiology. So for example, I have an interest with metabolic conditions, specifically type 2 diabetes. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping to do a little bit more work in that practice in the future and somehow mm-hmm. still be able to do this online mm-hmm. as well as in person. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be able to work closely with, for example, like a family healthcare team or with mm-hmm. doctors or with specialists if I was still a trainer, because it's not a regulated health profession, whereas kinesiology mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. So it just was a little bit more of a gateway to doing everything that I already enjoyed as a personal trainer.
Yeah.
So definitely it's been great.
No, that totally makes sense. What I wanted to dive into now was just for yourself, thinking about your business and sort of your goals for the next few years, what's in the line for FitFX? Are you planning to do any more education and things, or are you planning to, what is your sort of goals? Are you hoping to have an in-person studio, hire a team? I'm just always curious to hear what people are thinking of for their future.
Yeah, so when it comes to continuing education, I always try to stay on top of continuing education anyways. I actually just signed up for another course, my third course with Postural Restoration Institute. I'm taking it this weekend over a live stream. Nice. And Postural Restoration Institute, for those who don't know, it was started by Ron Haruska. And let me backpedal a little bit. I played a lot of sports and also went through various amounts of stress. And I found myself getting injured a lot. And I would do physiotherapy and still lift and still move and such. But some of the injuries just either kept coming back or just didn't move well. And what the Postural Restoration Institute, their concepts and their science is that everything, like human body, is imbalanced already anatomically, and we can exacerbate these patterns of imbalances, and we need to use the breath and certain breathing positions in order to try to realign ourselves back to a neutral position mm-hmm. just to move better. So when I first took a course called Myokinematic Restoration, it blew my mind, and it just felt like I was learning things all over again. So that was a really eye-opening course, and I highly recommend it because I think it's something that's somewhat missing with traditional rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's really interesting. For anyone who's listening, I'll make sure to link anything that we talk about, all the courses or anything else Francesca talks about in the show notes. But yeah, yes. Go ahead.
So I think, so if you are going to dive into that world or take some courses, Myokinematic Restoration is the first one. I've taken Pelvis Restoration, and then this weekend is Postural Restoration. And then they also have a whole bunch of other courses. I think another one is called Impingement and Instability. And it's just really, really fascinating stuff. I highly recommend it. And it just completely opened my eyes. And then also just case in point, I've never moved or felt better after utilizing their concepts and practices and exercises. And I use it a lot with my current clients right now. And they're
Nice.
Also really moving better and feeling better. And it's completely, we as a society underestimate how important breathing is and how it's the foundation to how we move and how well we move.
Yeah, there's so many different studies and stuff even is coming out now and stuff I'm reading about breathing and posture. And it's really like, even when I think about it, it's like, not that I don't believe in it. It's like, will I actually do that? Like, could I not do bigger movements or other exercises to help it? But I really do believe that breathing and like you said, posture at the end of the day, it's really, really important that you really need to hone in on those and understand those before building on top of that, or else you're not going to have those, get rid of that pain or move better.
Right. Like if we take, so for example, if we take squats, so again, with this, like we're reteaching people how to breathe, how the diaphragm muscle can be used in a respiratory fashion versus as a postural muscle. Because when a person might be really out of alignment, for example, the diaphragm would be descended. And then the person actually just starts breathing only like apically, like only with like their chest and neck, as opposed to the full diaphragmatic breaths. So the foundation is to teach diaphragmatic breaths and incorporate alignment. And then you can, again, add strength and build on top of that. So yeah, it's been a really eye-opening course for sure.
So yeah, in terms of that, in terms of FitFX, what are you hoping to do with that as you look down the line? Any sort of goals or anything you're hoping to do?
Well, with COVID, I definitely did have a vision of having my own clinic, but having an overhead expense during COVID, I know that's been really tough for some people. So it's made me think if there is a future of doing strictly online. But that poses its challenges as well.
For sure.
So for the immediate future, things are kind of staying online, and I would do some in-person sessions, but for say 5 years from now, I would love to be able to have other kinesiologists hired on and just be able to have at least maybe a consultation or online basis set up.
Yeah.
And then be able to have in-person sessions, either just in Ontario or nationwide. It's definitely something that I've been given some thought to, but with the pandemic right now, it's hard to kind of completely set my ideas on one specific thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like what you're doing now, like you said, all the branding, your website, the videos, like that will all help to do that as it goes down the line, right? So you've definitely set a good foundation for that anyways.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So what I want to look at now was get your idea of where do you see the future of the kinesiology going as a profession? I know for people who aren't aware, you're a committee member at the College of Kinesiology of Ontario. So I really wanted to get your idea. I don't know if you have some insight being there with everyone, but where do you see the future of the profession going from your perspective?
Well, I know the college is always working on things in the background, always trying to make things better for its members as well as for the public. And with the future of kinesiology as a profession, I think it's definitely going to continue to grow. And I think all of us kinesiologists can play a part in that in terms of promoting the kinesiology as a profession over our social media channels. I know that with the COVID-19 pandemic, that kinesiologists were included as a possible healthcare responder in terms of some rehab that can be done online or in person in long-term care facilities in a hospital setting. So it's finally being recognized as part of the healthcare team in exercise science therapy. So I definitely see it to still expand and grow in that direction. I also know that the Exercises Medicine Network, I believe you're affiliated with that too, right?
Yeah, I'm the web manager there, so
There
I'm
we go,
definitely.
right. Yeah, so kinesiologists were just moved up to professional level two with that. Yeah, so it's definitely growing, and anything worth having takes time.
Yo,
So I think
absolutely.
as long as we continue to promote the profession, do research, protect the public, and stand by our clients and do well by them, I think the future of kinesiology will be bright.
No, fantastic. Yeah, I definitely feel every time I'm looking online or I'm looking up stuff, like there's more kinesiologists posting stuff. There's good community of kinesiologists really speaking online too. And that this with this podcast, I'm really to help hoping to help accentuate that and make that our voice bigger and really talk about the profession, because I agree, I think it is growing, and it'll just be a matter of time before we're able to really or we're able to talk to someone and they know what a kinesiologist is and what they do. And
Yeah.
I always say on this podcast, one of the most challenging things is just because the scope of practice is so large, that it is a definitely a benefit, but also it's challenging for the public to know exactly what we do when we do so many things or we have so many different hats that we can put on.
Right. And also with insurance companies and being recognized by them as well. I know that we're recognized with, I believe, Manulife and
Sun Life is.
Sun Life, yeah, and a couple others, but even though I'll still ask some clients like if they do have kinesiology as a coverage, and a lot of them still say no. So I don't know who their insurance provider is. But I think it'll be huge once kinesiology is offered as a benefit with most healthcare plans, as much as chiropractic and physiotherapy is.
Yeah, that'll definitely be a game changer. Because then, yeah, people are able to get a lot of their stuff claimed through that. But I still know a
Absolutely.
lot of clients that use extended health benefits, or sorry, health spending accounts, my
Right.
apologies, and they can't get that covered. So, for people who are looking, you can always look at clients or different, I guess, populations or jobs or companies that have those health spending accounts, because then they can get their kinesiology sessions reimbursed.
Right.
Yeah. Now, to finish off the podcast here, I wanted you to leave us with some advice for any of the either kinesiology students here that are listening, or any of the new registered kinesiologists who are new in the field and just looking to see what's out there. So I'd love if you can share some knowledge, some advice.
Well, I actually got my first taste of kinesiology being a physiotherapy assistant at a physiotherapy clinic. This was years ago. This was when I was still in high school and I was still kind of playing with the idea of being a physiotherapist. So if you, I would recommend if you're still kind of early on and you're not sure, you can definitely volunteer in that type of setting. I basically worked as an assistant and just did some modalities and exercise instruction for the physiotherapist as they worked with other patients. It's kind of where I got like my feet wet. And for those that are about to write the exam, one thing that I did and it worked out really well for me is there was a practice exam on the website, and I went through the questions, I went through the exam, and there was just a lot that either I learned so long ago, or because I had graduated from kin so long ago,
For sure.
or I actually just didn't know. I never studied. There was never any like in-depth ergonomics topics at York or anywhere that I had worked before. So I went to the reference library, like actually on the practice exam, there were cited citations from where they got the questions from. So I actually just pulled those books. And I studied from those books, so I took a lot of notes from theirs, and that was a big help in terms of just being prepared for the exam.
For sure.
And then, as a new kin, there are we don't really have the ability to specialize yet, but there are kins that are focused on doing ACL or knee rehab or cancer or chronic pain. If you're on, don't worry if you don't have anything that you that you're striving towards specifically. Learn as much as you can and see if you can find a great mentor or somebody to work alongside and shadow. I did a lot of shadowing when I first started too. I took notes and also there are courses out there. I'm trying to remember now. Continuing Con Ed Institute, I believe.
Yeah, with Mark, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, Con Ed Institute. So I actually just did a refresher record keeping course. It was it was inexpensive and I did it all online. You can do it at your own pace. So even though I've been a kin for 5-6 years now, I think it's important to continue to take refresher courses or just to any continuing education for that matter, just to stay on top of your game and keep doing research. Try to read some studies once in a while, stay on top of your game. And I think it just really helps to boost your confidence and your knowledge. And the more that you do, you'll be able to decide which direction you want to take your career. If it's going to be in if it's going to be in orthopedics or cancer rehab, chronic pain, cardiac. Yeah.
No, definitely. So I wanted to just thank you so much for being in the podcast today. I know you're a busy person. And I know it took us a little bit to figure out this recording, but I'm so happy that we had a time today to chat and tell all the listeners what it's like to be an online trainer as a kinesiologist. And like we said at the beginning, your story and how that led to where you are now. So thank you so much for sharing everything today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate the opportunity. And hopefully anybody can take something away from what we chatted about. And if anybody wanted to reach out to me personally, absolutely on Instagram, it's FitFX Training. So just FitFX Training, all one word. I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook. And if you want to email me, it's info@fitfxtraining.ca.
Great. For everyone who's listening, I'll make sure to link all that stuff down in the show notes for wherever you're listening. And lastly, I just want to say thank you, everyone who's listening. It really means a lot. I've been now doing this for a year, and I think this is the 18th or 19th, maybe even the 20th episode. So I really want to say thank you, honestly, to everyone who's listened to the podcast today. And if you got this far, I really, really appreciate it. As we start to look to expand, I'm hoping to find more kinesiologists on the podcast. So if you do know of any other interesting kinesiologists that have a good interesting story or they have an interesting position, you can send me an email at makingconnections@gmail.com. And of course, any comments, questions, concerns can be all linked or be directed to our LinkedIn or Facebook pages, and as well as Instagram, all Making Connections Podcast. So links, like I said, will all be in the show notes. Thank you guys very, very much for listening. I hope to start to create more content about the podcast and eventually start to do some video recordings as well. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day and stay safe out there from the Making Connections team.